I want to begin today by acknowledging that we are gathered on the traditional homelands of the Tiwa Pueblo people, who have stewarded this land throughout the generations and continue to care for this place and call it home. We recognize that Indigenous peoples are not historical subjects, but a part of our communities, and that they offer invaluable wisdom for how we live today and into the future in relationship with Mother Earth and our human and non-human neighbors. Our gospel reading today begins and ends with love. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. These words of Jesus are among his last words to his disciples on the night before his death, just after he knelt to wash their feet. Jesus assures them of his love for them, lived out in acts of service. And then he gives them a new commandment that they love even as Jesus has loved. The love Jesus has modeled for them is not careful, comfortable, measured love. Jesus has shown them a love that crosses boundaries, that heals physical, social, and emotional wounds, welcomes the stranger, even breaks rules when it has to. Jesus has shown them a love which always tells the truth and acts accordingly. So now, before his death, Jesus tells his disciples to keep loving as he has loved. And he gives them a promise that although his physical presence is leaving them, they will not be alone. God will send the Holy Spirit, who Jesus calls the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit will not just be with them, she will abide within them. She will guide them and empower them in the ongoing work of love. On Tuesday night, I attended a digital meeting describing the ELCA's Truth and Healing Movement, which is led by Vance Black Fox. The ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is the national church body to which we belong. Vance Black Fox is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation and the ELCA Director for Indigenous Ministries and Tribal Relations. He has been active in ministry within the ELCA for many years. I've heard him speak many times through my years of ministry, and has also worked with Native communities around the country. He began by talking about his recent work with Native peoples, particularly in the area of acknowledging and healing from the atrocities of Indian boarding schools. Vance spoke of a movement of truth and healing which is growing in Indigenous communities across the nation, and how excited he is that the ELCA is seeking to be a part of this movement. How long has it been, he said, since the church has joined a movement? I was moved and excited by what I heard at that meeting and have read on the website, and so I want to share some of that with you and how it might be a part of our life here at All Saints. Truth and healing begins with truth. Now I'm on the wrong one again. Truth and healing begins with truth. I don't know. The first work of such a movement is to learn and tell the truth of Indigenous people's experience. That means not shying away from the history of colonialism, genocide, and the role that the church played in both. Means learning the history of boarding schools, which took Indigenous children from their homes to stamp out Indigenous culture and language. Looking at the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous women, which gets little attention in the media. And the slide, which is supposed to be up now, the woman with the red hand, is a sign of that. It is? Oh, it is there now. Great. Okay. Looking at the history of broken treaties and promises to Native peoples, which continue into today. This movement is different from Truth and Reconciliation. Vance spoke at some length about the experience of Indigenous peoples in South Africa and Canada in Truth and Reconciliation movements. The learning, he said, is that when we move very quickly to say, we tell the truth, we have reconciliation, now let's just move on, everything's fine. It has kind of let the colonizers off the hook. But healing requires more of us. Healing requires that we listen to the truth of our Indigenous neighbors, what they have experienced and what they still experience today, and take action for justice. I began my sermon with a land acknowledgement. How many of you have heard a land acknowledgement before? Megan, many of you. In what sort of context have you heard those?
Conferences.
Conferences, yeah.
Schools.
So schools, school conferences?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Books.
Books, oh yeah,
University research conferences.
Joy, is that a hand?
The church in Texas that is dealing with their land and their church is built on.
Okay, yeah. So sometimes in churches. The Lutheran Advocacy Ministry Conference has started for a number of years with a land acknowledgement. And I've heard them in other church settings as well. The ELCA has actually committed itself in one of those little quiet things that it does when it makes these commitments and like posts them on the website and then we don't hear about them, has committed itself to begin the practice of land acknowledgments at all expressions of church, which means congregations and synods and church-wide. A land acknowledgement is simply a formal statement that recognizes and respects the Native and Indigenous peoples as the traditional stewards and caretakers of this land, and the relationship that has existed between Native peoples and their traditional lands. And our Reconciling in Christ task force is discussing how the use of land acknowledgement might be a part of our commitment to inclusion and anti-racist work here at All Saints. So just a part of the discussion. Vance Black Fox wrote in the ELCA statement, "This is arguably one of the easier commitments, though it should never be thought of as simple or meaningless. Land acknowledgments are indeed meaningful and play a crucial part in combating the erasure of Indigenous peoples. Such acknowledgments can be one step forward toward a further commitment to the ongoing work of truth and healing." So this morning, I am inviting and urging all of us at All Saints to commit ourselves to participating in this ELCA Truth and Healing movement. One of the things the ELCA is doing is providing funding for Indigenous ministries, world hunger funding for housing and support of Indigenous communities, which are among the poorest in the nation. Vance Black Fox specifically talked about the, oh gosh, I knew it until I just needed to say it, in Minnesota, one of the poorest counties in the nation, Pine Ridge, thank you, Pine Ridge communities. He is working there. And the work also includes hiring a person in our National Advocacy Office who will focus on legislation and legal actions regarding Indigenous people, which is a whole specialized area of law, arcane and deep knowledge, and they're bringing someone in who has that special knowledge to work with the ELCA. And the work begins with learning and telling the truth. On June 1st, Vance Black Fox will offer one more time his Indian 101 class. He did four last month. A lot of us missed it. It came out at the last minute. He's going to offer that once again digitally through the ELCA website. It's a two-hour class that offers historical and cultural information about the Native peoples of North America, also known as Turtle Island. I don't know if you've heard that word, Turtle Island. I would love to get a group of people here at church that night, June 1st, it's a Thursday, and watch the class together and have some discussion among ourselves. as we learn. The ELCA is planning a lot of other events around learning and commemorating Indigenous history and life throughout the year, and I hope to bring some of that into our life together. On the last night before he died, Jesus said to his disciples, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. If you love me, you will keep my commands." And he said, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me physically, in person, sitting with you and walking beside you. I won't be here. But you will see me, because you will see my spirit alive in the world and active in love. Because I live," Jesus said, "you also will live. Because I live, you will have abundant life, eternal life, lived in love and truth." Love means listening to the truth of people's lives and allowing them to share their own stories and their own needs. This week, the people of the Rocky Mountain Synod are gathering in El Paso for our annual assembly, and all 250 some of us will be heading out on Wednesday to listen to stories of refugees and the people who serve them in shelters, churches, and agencies around El Paso. It will not be easy to see and hear what is happening at the border. But friends, the life Jesus invites us into is a life lived out in love in the world, and that is not easy. Love may be inconvenient or uncomfortable or challenging. Love may call us to do hard things, but love is a part of what it means to abide in Jesus and the core of who we are as Easter people. In this season of Easter, Church of Scotland priest Roddy Hamilton reminds us, "Alleluia is not just a word, it is a way of living." How many ways can we share Alleluia? When the bread is divided, Alleluia. When the table is set, Alleluia. When the hungry are fed, Alleluia. When peace is celebrated, Alleluia. When truth is revealed, Alleluia. When communities are brought together, Alleluia. When neighbors love each other, Alleluia. May we live, my friends, in God's Alleluia, held in God's love and care today and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.